listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
John Morton loves revival. Don't you, John? Come on up here. We're going to get this podium set up for you. But John has become a dear friend of mine, and he and his wife, Brenda, have been such a support to this church over the last several years. Let me tell you how John's been a fixture on Grays Harbor for many, many years. He's kind of grown up here. He's been here before I have been here. So he's like Mr. Methuselah. But I just need you to know that three years ago, we were passing out posters to an event that we were having here at the church. And I knocked on the church building where John was pastoring, and knocked and knocked and knocked, and nobody came. So I assumed that there was nobody in the building. But as I was beginning to turn away, the door opened, and there stands John Lorton. Oh, he thought I was homeless. I might have been homeless, but I wasn't at home. But at the same time, so we talked, and John said, I want to support that 100%. Shortly thereafter, John came to me, and he says, you know, the Lord has spoken to me. You could probably tell this better than me, but I feel that I need to get behind Cornerstone Church and encourage all of our people that are attending here to start attending Cornerstone Church and to step in the river of God and touch what God is doing there. John and his family have not missed the beat since that time. And I just, I think that's pretty big-hearted of a guy like John Lorton to take such a bold stance in support. Stand to your feet. Let's thank John for, put your hands together for his dedication to the Lord. Thank you, Pastor.
Here we go, Lord. But anyway, the reason why we're here at Cornerstone is because he placed us here for one thing. But you have a great pastor, and he has a vision, and he shared some of that vision with me at a pastor's meeting. And I was amazed what came out of his mouth. And without a vision, the people perish. And God has chosen this body and this pastor to spread the word. Because we're living in an exciting time. My Lord, that opening by Pastor Joel. Him and I worked together on this harbor in a couple different churches, and we had a great time. We know one another really well, and we have the same feeling of what God wants to do. He wants to move. He wants to take over this service. He wants to take over this church. And I got to sitting back there thinking, there's no competition in this church. And the scripture came to me that I may decrease, that he may increase. And if you don't have that revelation, you're not worth anything. He can't do nothing for you. He has to be in charge of our life. Amen? Not your phone. Not your internet. Not the Seahawks. But he has to be in charge. Praise God. Because God is ready to do something, and I hope it don't take a tsunami or a fire to get us on fire. I hope so. It was watching part of the news where there was a sign sticking up of about 1,000 people, a big sign. We need to get God out of Los Angeles. Then later on, I looked again, and I saw thousands of people in the streets of San Diego on their knees, bawling and crying and praying for Los Angeles and for California. When I saw that, I thought, this is what we need to do. The word needs to get out of this church into the highways and byways. What is it going to take? One time I preached on a message, "Here I am, send me." But you know, hallelujah, Isaiah. Oh, praise God, he had a revelation of the Lord. But when God touched him and put a fire in him, he says, "Woe is me, I am unworthy and I am undone." And when you get close to the Lord, that's how you feel. You feel worthy, unworthy, and undone. But the Lord, he says, "Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me." Before I start, I'm going to tell a little story. When I got saved in 1971, I got on fire for God, and I says, "Oh, God, I read that passage in Isaiah. You know, you got to watch out what you pray for." And I says, "Lord, here I am, send me." I'm at the altar bawling. I'm on my knees crying and bawling. "Here I am, Lord. Where are you? Here I am, send me." In this little wooden church that seats about 40, built out of secondhand lumber, Bay Center, Washington. About 9 people there, and there was a woman. A lady reminds me of Anne. I didn't know what prophecy was. She come over, put her hand on my shoulder. "Thus saith the Lord thy God, I am sending you out. You shall see the lame walk. You shall see the blind see. Ye shall cast out devils. Ye shall lay your hands on the sick." Here I am, 8 months old in the Lord, crying. What's she talking about? I've never been prophesied over before. And about 5 years later, the Lord sent me all around the United States preaching the gospel. Wow. He sent me to Hawaii in a convention center, seated about 150 people, to preach the word. He put me on TV in Honolulu. And when I went on TV, and they said, "You're alive," I forgot my name. I was so scared. I did. I forgot my name. Hundreds were saved. Thousands from all over the world were touched. So God is looking for someone to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me. I'm ready to go to this region. I'm ready to go downtown to the streets. I'm ready to go to the missions." Charlie's asked me to come down there. I go down there once a week and preach the gospel. That's exciting. I got to have a drink of water. Well, it's been a while since. Let's look in the Word, okay? I want to start off by going to Joel. What a name. Joel 2:1. We've got two Joels in here. Joel 2:1. Joel was a prophet. And he prophesied, "In the last days I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh." And it came to pass. And he says here in verse 1, 2:1, in the King James Version, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm. And that's what Joel did this morning, and that's what Pastor does, and that's what I'm doing. Sound the alarm. Sound it. Make a noise. Blow the trumpet in Zion. We can say, blow the word, preachers. Blow the word, preachers. Don't hold back. Preach the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. That's what they're doing in L.A. For the day of the Lord comes, for it is near at hand. Let me tell you what, we're living in a time, I don't know if we understand it, but we're living in a time that the prophets desire to look into. Amen. We're living in a time, I believe, of the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit that the world has ever seen. And I'm believing for this region and for Grace Harbor, I believe there's going to be a revival coming. I prophesied in this church 2 years ago that there's coming a river, there's coming a fire, and it's coming. There's no doubt about it. But he's got to get the church ready. We've got to be ready and to go, amen, in his mighty name. Praise God, amen. Hallelujah. So I want us to go. Amen. We're not going to be in no hurry this morning. Amen. We got all the time in the day, so let's just get with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see what the Lord has to say. I know the Apostle Paul preaching, and there was a loft up there. And if one of those people fall out of there, we'll just raise them from the dead. Because that's what Paul did. Because he was preaching night and day. Hallelujah. And they fell asleep, some of them. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's hard to keep people awake in church today while we're preaching because half the church is asleep. God needs to wake us up. Come on, can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And if it takes a loud shout, then let's shout hallelujah. That's just the way God called me. He didn't call me to be a teacher, an exhorter. He called me to be a preacher. I don't know how to teach, but when I open my mouth, he's taught me how to preach. Hallelujah. Thank God for the teachers. Thank God for the exhorters. Thank God for the Joels. Thank God for the pastors. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now we see Jesus when he entered the streets all over Jerusalem. We see what he did. Praise God. There's in Acts or Matthew chapter 9. I want to highlight on this a little bit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. He says in Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to be at verse 36 in a little bit. But just before that, there was a woman with a blood issue. And she had to press through the crowd. She was dying. It could have been cancer. I don't know. But she pressed through the crowd. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole. That's just as real today as it was then. Sometimes you got to press through the doubt. You got to press through the crowd and the quietness. But he's here to heal and deliver and to set free. Hallelujah. And he healed her. Praise the name of the Lord. Then the second one, he healed the blind man, the deaf and the blind man that was demon possessed. Praise God, he cast the devil out of that man just before he said what he's going to say. Hallelujah. Then there's the blind man. He opened the blinded eyes. I've seen that happen in ministry. And he's not done doing that yet. Praise God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're living in a countryside that needs the gospel. I've been here almost 35, 40 years. And I've never seen the increase of darkness of drugs, of alcohol, seeing the increase of homelessness, and on and on and on. It's just getting more increased and more increased, it seems like. And I says, God, you got to do something, God. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, it's coming. It's on the way. There is something coming, and it's on the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when Jesus saw the multitudes, I see them every day. You see them every day. They're all around us, people that are lost, people that don't know Jesus, praise the Lord. And something happened to Jesus. Something phenomenal happened here. Something that stirred my heart. Jesus, when he saw them, the Bible says he's moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. And you know, when we look at these people on the street, we don't say those people. We have compassion on those that are out there in the cold, no food, no place to live. Hallelujah. He had compassion, which is great pity and sympathy for them. Hallelujah. And when I read that, I said, Lord, give me compassion. Give me compassion, Lord. But I had to understand what compassion was. It wasn't just feeling sorry for them. Oh, they're, oh, you know, by the grace of God, I could be where they're at. That's not compassion. But without compassion, we are useless. Without a heart and without love, we're useless. And I think God is speaking to God's people on this harbor that we need to get full of the love of God. We need to have a vision. Hallelujah. He had compassion because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And you know, the harvest is great, but the labors are few. What is a labor? Somebody that's willing to go out day and night. Somebody that's willing to sacrifice. Someone's willing to lay down their life for someone that is down and out. And we need that. We need that in our heart. And Jesus had that. He had great compassion. Compassion. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One time I prayed for compassion when I started out in the ministry, preaching in the rest home every week. And I'd go in there and I would preach, and people got healed and saved. Pretty soon I was preaching for people and they were dying. I laid hands on them and they'd die a day later. So I quit praying for them. I said, Lord, I'm killing them all before their time. So I quit. I did, honestly. I was upset with God. I was upset with everybody. So I went in there. I wouldn't pray for nobody again. Hallelujah. Then this little gray-haired lady, about 85 years, Pentecostal, she grabbed me by the hands and said, son, you come here with me. You're not done yet. She pulled me in this room, and this man was dying. He was on his deathbed. He had a color about him. He was skinny. He was dying. He was already almost dead. She says, son, pray for this man before he dies and lead him to Jesus, because he ain't going to make it through the night. So I said, in the name of Jesus, death angel, out of here. Raise him up, Lord, in Jesus' name. There, I'm happy now. Now he's going to die. I came back next week to the rest home to preach, and as I round the corner in that wood floor, I heard this. I says, what? It was that man. He lived and he accepted Jesus and he's in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, the Lord gave me compassion for him. I didn't want to see him die. I wanted to see him raise up. Then I got on fire, and I shouldn't have died. I got on fire, and that was a mistake. I got so radical. I got so crazy. There was a woman in a wheelchair. And boy, I tell you, I had faith then to raise the dead man. I was on fire. A great miracle happened. I come to the lady, and it was a pastor. And actually, the pastor's daughter is one of the leaders over at Harbor Assembly. She's there leading, helping lead. So I says, come here, lady. I took her out of the wheelchair. I says, in Jesus' name, you're not going back. You're healed. And started going like this. And it didn't work, so I put her back. But that didn't stop me. Amen. It says, you shall lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, when I said, Lord, here I am, send me. You know, when he sends you, he's going to give you all the tools. He's going to give you the power of the Holy Ghost, the anointing. He's going to anoint your hands. Don't you know they're anointed to lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. He's going to give you the anointing to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Compassion. And this compassion Jesus had is deep sympathy, to have pity, like feeling their pain. Now, when you come in here, you have Dave, you have Ann, you have the pastor. Hallelujah. They're not off in the wilderness somewhere. They feel your pain. They feel what you're going through. And sometimes they'll call you out and pray for you. And you leave changed. Can you say amen? Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's demonstrating a deep love and care for others. How many has deep care and love for others? We need to show it. Why do you come to Cornerstone, you ask? When I walked into this church, I walked right into the presence of God. Right away. Didn't even have to preach. Didn't even have to worship. I walked right into the presence of God in this room. And you know something? I felt like we were really related together. I felt like he was really my blood brother. Amen. Because there's love in this place. What is people looking for? They're looking for love. They're looking for compassion. Can you say amen? And I want to say here today, church, keep it up. When a stranger comes through that door, don't look at them weird. That's not compassion. Love them. Pray for them. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 That compassion compelled Jesus to act. He just didn't stand there and look and walk away. It compelled him to act. And I tell you what, when ministering, I minister down there at the missions. Sometimes people come in, look like they've been in a different world. And they're listening to the gospel. And you know, my heart goes out to them. And the Lord gives me compassion to give them the good news. And let me tell you what. There's good news and there's bad news. If all we do is preach good news, it's not going to help a lot of people. Sometimes we got to preach against demonic forces. Sometimes we got to preach against sin. Can I have an amen? Oh, hallelujah. You know, when we get saved, we get baptized into Christ. And there's a baptism in water. And I need to dip every day, but we got baptized into Christ. there's a cleaning going on. Hallelujah. There's a cleansing from the top of our head to the sole of our feet. I don't care how dirty you are. I don't care where you've been or where you came from. When you accept Jesus Christ, hallelujah, hallelujah, there's a washing and a cleansing going on in your spirit, whether you make it or not, every day. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It prompted Jesus to act and lay his hands on the sick. Praise God. I want to say this before I close. I don't believe, or I believe, the church is going out like it came in. You understand? I believe the church is going out like it came in, and then some. How did it come in? Let me tell you what, you read the book of Acts. You read the book of Acts a couple times, you'll understand how this church is going out. And let me tell you what, oh, hallelujah, there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that Acts is going to look secondary. Let me tell you what, I believe we're going to see some phenomenal things. The greatest miracle, though, is when someone really gets saved, really gets born again, really gets delivered. Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, God is looking for people that will say, here I am, send me. You may not go all over the world, but this is your region. Go down into Grace Harbor and witness. Don't be shy and scared. Witness. Hallelujah. They're waiting for us. Come on, they're waiting for us. Somebody's got to say something. Hallelujah. They're waiting. It's not all about just being here in the safety zone. It's about going out and preaching the word. Whew. Hallelujah. I don't want to say what's going to happen to you. If you don't, that's the bad news. The good news, somebody's going to do it. Oh, hallelujah. I'd like us to stand to our feet, if you will. Praise the Lord. You know, judgment is coming where? To the house of God. And if it comes to the house of God, what's going to happen to those outside? It's happening in some areas all over the world. Judgment. It's not just an accident. It's not the climate change. It's not a freakish thing. God is waking people up. God is waking America up. Can you say amen? Amen. But judgment is not going to begin out there. It's going to begin here. And when he comes to me, I want my heart to be right. I don't want to be a compromiser. I don't want secret sin in my life. Hallelujah. Oh, it's easy to hide sin, but you can't hide it from God. Can I hear an amen? He's looking right in our hearts. Hallelujah. And he's judging us by his word. And the reason why, hallelujah, the church is in the state it's in is because just because of that. Hallelujah. Are we ready to go? You know, as Pastor Joel got up here, we need the fire of God. We need the fire of God. He should have finished off in Jeremiah. Oh, every time I open my mouth, I start preaching repent. I start preaching sin. God, you fooled me. I am preaching no more. But he said, but the fire of God is shut up in my bones and I can't sit still. Hallelujah. Can you sit still while the world is going to hell in a handbasket? Can you sit there and just watch them go to hell and not tell them about Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. 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 Holy Spirit, move upon your people now. Move upon them, Lord. Move upon me also, Father. Restore our vision, Lord. There's the harvest out there. My dad, we were so poor. There's 14 of us in a field. build a garden down in the Hagerland in Bay Center, between our house and the woods. I build a garden. Potatoes, corn. When those things got ripe, I said, come on, Lord. Come on, potatoes, we're hungry. No, John, you got to go pick them. You got to go down that garden. You got to go fill the basket and bring them in. What are you saying, Pastor? The harvest is ripe. It's not come to us. You got to go get them. You got to go pick them. You got to go. I know you don't want to. You're scared and you're comfortable. Maybe you don't want to, but God's going to have one, maybe two here going to sing, here I am, send me, Lord. Watch out what you pray for. Watch out what you pray for. Watch out, because when you pray, God is going to use you. God's going to exceed what you're asking, and you better be ready. You better watch out. And don't renege and back up on God. Don't renege and back up on what you've been praying. Do what he says, amen. Go to all the world, preach the gospel in this region. Go and preach the gospel. I want to tell a story real quick. We were moving. We started a church over at South Shore Mall. We moved out because of COVID. I had my pickup full of stuff, pulpit chairs. We're going down the street. The pulpit slipped out at the back onto the road. And I picked the pulpit up and I stood behind it, and here come a man. And I says, thus saith the Lord, Jesus loves you and died on that cross. God has interesting ways of winning people to Jesus. I want people. I had altar calls on the beach digging clams. People got saved digging clams. You're crazy, Lord. What are you doing preaching the gospel? I'm supposed to be digging clams. Well, the Spirit of the Lord comes on me, no matter where I'm at, what I'm doing. Listen, how many can say, here I am, Lord. Come on. How many? Raise your hand. Here I am. Some of you are afraid too. Oh, come on. Break the ice. Break through and say, here I am, Lord. I'm ready to go. Look at all those hands. Oh, hallelujah. Blow the trumpet. It's a call to action. God is willing to act upon that trumpet. That's the interpretation. God is willing to act upon that trumpet. Here's the trumpet being blown right here. Some churches have a shofar. But this shofar right here. My big mouth. One time I was preaching so hard my teeth flew out. Truth, that's the truth. But what do you preach so hard for? That's the Holy Ghost's fault. When he gets on me, I'm getting a little older now. I don't have as much steam as I used to have. I got a little bit left, but I'm holding him in. But we need to let go and let God. Let me tell you why. Where I handed the pastor. The Lord showed me while I was sitting there, I'm going to release and I'm going to impart. Whoever will step out, I'm going to impart and I'm going to release an anointing on their life. We've been prayed for. We're a bunch of oil slicks. We've been prayed for healing. We prayed for this, prayed for that, prayed for this, prayed for that. I see it all around here. But this is a little bit different. We're going to pray for an impartation. I pray for the anointing to go. I pray for anointing to break through. Go where no one wants to go. Hallelujah. Go into the highways and byways. Put down that phone and that TV for a while and go. Sorry, Pastor. I'm trying to behave myself. God is trying to wake us up. They may give us something to eat, but if we sit here in this pew, we're going to die. But we need to get up and we need to go. And this is what he's saying to the church. We need to get up and go. Go where? Downtown Aberdeen, that's a good start. Talk to Charlie, another good start. He'll send them to you. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Come on, church. Don't sit there and die. Come on, church. Come on, if you want to go for Jesus, come on. Get out of the boat. Come on, get out of the boat. Hallelujah. The Lord spoke to me concerning the deliverance ministry, concerning the different things. John, you stay in the boat, you'll get seasick. You step out of the boat, that's the only time I can use you. There's something going on here. You step out of the boat is the only time I can use you. Some of you are stepping out today and you're saying, here I am in my spirit. Lord, send me. I've been prophesied over. I've been healed. I've been encouraged. But now it's time to use that and go. Go out and preach the gospel to every creature. You know what? You say, I'm not a preacher. I don't have my license. I'm not a preacher. If I'm right, in Mark 16 it says, he who believes shall cast out devils. He who believes shall lay their hands on the sick. Isn't that right? How many believes? You are a preacher. Don't cop out. You are a preacher. Whether you believe it or know it or not, you are a preacher. And if you have the anointing, it draws. And it's going to draw people to you. And you're going to know what to do. You're going to pray for them and preach, give them the gospel. Pastor, look at all these folks. Now, this is going to be the hardest part right here. Someone, they're out there, they will come. But what are you waiting for? You know, this is not even my message, Pastor. This is not even my message. This is not. I'm doing dishes the other night, minding my business, doing dishes for my wife, and the Lord says, blow the trumpet in Zion, tell my people. John's ready to go. I nicknamed him Big John because he's taller than him. Okay. Dear Lord, I heard the word, and I believe it came from you. I ask, Lord, here I am, just as I am. Send me. Give me a vision. Give me a prophecy. Give me revelation of the word. I'm tired of this sin. Here I am. Send me. I will go for you. Lord, we release that anointing right now. Release that anointing upon them. Give them a good hand. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And another thing I want to say in closing again. Okay. 44 years ago, the Lord gave me a helpmate. And my wife. And when she was little, you get a lot of evangelists sometimes. You watch out, you got to be careful. But there were some old evangelists, Rex Humbart, Catherine Coleman, and Oral Roberts. Brenda, when she's 8, 9, 6, 5, had a hole, not in her head, but had a hole in her heart, and she was actually dying. And she was sickly and weak. And she couldn't play and couldn't do stuff like that. They took her to an Oral Roberts revival in a tent, California. She got in a prayer line.
Jesus, and
when Brenda came up to Oral, he looked at Brenda. He took a little more time and he looked at her. The friends. And he picked Brenda and set her on his lap and touched her and says, "Be healed."
And see the army of God assembled. But you're not going to go in your own might, your own strength. I want you to know last Sunday night, four people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit's all about? It's about empowering us to go out with compassion and reach people. If you've yet to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit today, we're going to dismiss you that need to go, but if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want you to stay right up here or come up here, and we're going to believe for the empowering of the Holy Spirit in your life so that you can be a vessel of God, anointed by God, to reach the people that God has set in your pathway, because only you can reach those people, and you'll not do it in your own strength, but you'll do it in the might of the Holy Spirit. You're going to represent Jesus in that situation. Amen? Come on, give the Lord an applaud today. So we're going to dismiss you. If you must go, there's got children to get. That's important. But if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to stand right here with me. And I'm going to have David come. Where's David? Right back there. Come on up here, David. And I want to... to encourage those of you that desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to come. And we will pray with you and for you. God bless you. Thank you for being here. John, you're amazing. Come on, let's show our appreciation for John Lorton today. Amen. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. You want to be baptized in the Spirit? Come on right up here.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.org.